ESPN is now the home of MLB.tv. If you have the ESPN Unlimited plan, you'll get a $15 discount on the 2026 seasonal MLB.tv package. And if you don't, no problem. When you sign up for MLB.tv, you'll receive a one-month free trial of ESPN Unlimited. Cancel anytime without losing your MLB.tv access. Get in on the action at stream.espn.com/MLBTV.
ESPN Unlimited auto renews at $29.99 per month after free trial unless canceled. Blackouts and other terms apply.
From 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Did you say someone got shot?
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What did you tell Tom Brady?
We came to play football, not argue with the refs. And yeah, he didn't like it.
Today's guest, 2026 NFL draft prospect Eli Stowers, Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo, actor Kevin Zegers. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. And now, Rich Eisen.
Oh, hey, everyone. Hi, funny. You should join us. It's a great day in our Tuesday neighborhood here. 844-204-RICH is that number to dial to hang with us here on this program. Disney Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, but of course, coast to coast, the Rich Eisen Terrestrial Radio Network, courtesy of our friends and partners at ESPN Radio. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. What's going on?
Hey, Rich. Morning, my friend. How are you?
DJ Mikey D is in G's Nuts. TJ Jefferson, candles lit over there, it appears. Good to see you.
What up, though?
What up, though? I'll tell you who the Detroit Lions are going to draft. How does that sound? Michigan State's Tom Izzo is on this program today.
I know you'll bother him, but you won't bother Dusty Mays.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That is so messed up.
Weird.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
I have an open door policy for Tom Izzo. You know I adore him.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to ask him if I'm his favorite Michigan man.
Oh, interesting.
He's got to have some exceptions to the rule.
Interesting. Do you? Yeah, you do.
I've got a favorite Michigan State man.
Yeah, for sure you do.
It's Tom Izzo. Yeah.
Mm. Just saying, it's just.
I don't know of any other Michigan State people I like.
Come on, Chat EMJ.
I mean, who doesn't like Magic Johnson? But I don't know him. I know Izzo.
That's wild. You don't know Magic.
I don't know him. I mean, I know Mooch, and Mooch is Michigan State by proxy because they're both went to school at the Northern Michigan
in the
University
BFS.
Up there in the Upper Peninsula. At any rate, Tom Izzo is going to join us.
Hey,
taking on Dan Hurley in UConn. What a Sweet 16 Washington, D.C. By the way, Tom Izzo's Michigan State Spartans and UConn Husky game is tipping off at 9:45 local time on Friday. How does that sound? It's Thursday.
Doesn't sound
It's nuts. It's absolutely absurd. But at any rate, Tom's going to join us.
Love it.
Eli Stowers, the draft prospect from Vanderbilt, will join us shortly. And then Kevin Zegers from the hit show, The Madison on Paramount Plus, the latest Taylor Sheridan offering. He will be here in studio. You also may know him as the child star of Air Bud. So we're going to
way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Cage is pumped.
Oh, yeah. We can talk about Golden Retrievers, Michelle Pfeiffer, Taylor Sheridan. Fly fishing and so much more.
We're three people who have never been in my kitchen.
An hour number three of the program. And again, as I mentioned, there's you at 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. 1 month from this very moment, we will be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for our third and final day of our residency in the Steel City for the NFL draft. Talking about the first round that has just gone down and all of the questions being answered for the NFL draft. We will have all the answers to the test.
Yes.
At this very moment, 1 month from now. And we'll find out if there is, in fact, a surprise in the top five. We'll find out where Jeremiah Love, who I believe is having a pro day today in Notre Dame, is going to land. Is he a top five guy or not? Is somebody going to trade up to go get him? Where will all the defenders go? Where will all the Ohio State players go? Will we have four in the top 10? Is Ty Simpson going to be drafted in the first round? Will somebody, if he drops, trade up into the end of the first round to go get him? Will there be any more trades at all in the middle of this first round? What is your team doing? How did the Jets screw it up? All those things. Well, no.
Come on.
What are the Miami Dolphins doing? You know what I mean? That's all going to be answered.
What I hate this team.
What do the Baltimore Ravens do with their first round draft choice that they kept their finger on the chess piece for in the Max Crosby trade? You see where I'm going with all this?
Yeah, buddy.
In the meantime, we get answers to the test from people like our friend Field Yates of ESPN, who kindly not only did a mock draft for the first two rounds, but provided us material here on this very slow Sports Tuesday. It's time to mock us like a hurricane. Go for it.
Mock! Yeah!
It's time to mock you like a hurricane.
You like our...
Ew.
Our
I love
production
mock,
value?
I love mock drafts, and I love...
Yeah, we're mocking you like a hurricane.
Goofy graphic.
That's what we're doing.
Let's go.
So Field, who knows a thing or two... This is a shocker. Up there with, I believe, our buddy Vinny Pasquantino's scoop that he put out there on social media yesterday that Bobby Witt Jr. is the starting shortstop of the Kansas City Royals. He made the team.
Congrats to Bobby.
Yeah, awesome. Made the team.
Yeah, congrats.
He wasn't told in the middle of an inning, like somebody on the, like a pitcher on the Texas Rangers we'll talk about later on, found out last night.
That was cool, too.
It was indeed. Fernando Mendoza is going to be the first overall pick, but how about this? This mock draft would be set in stone right now by a Washington Commanders fan.
Oh.
Because Field believes that after Mendoza is chosen, all three of the defenders that will be a choice for the New York Jets at two, David Bailey, Arvell Reese, Sonny Styles, he says they will go in that order after Mendoza.
Oh, Bailey. Sorry.
No one's going to be taken a tackle or Jeremiah Love in the top four picks of this draft. It will be Mendoza and then the top three edge rusher slash defenders, with the Giants then following up with Caleb Downs, fifth overall. He believes Mendoza will go. The Jets will choose David Bailey, which is something that Daniel Jeremiah has been saying since January. He said it at the Combine. He said it Senior Bowl. He said David Bailey is the guy who can rush now and has an upside to match. And that Arvell Reese is somebody that, yes, the Jets could take, but if you want straight injected into your veins edge pass rusher, David Bailey's the guy. And he thinks the Cardinals will go Arvell Reese third, with Sonny Styles going to Tennessee fourth overall. Caleb Downs going fifth overall. So Fernando Mendoza will be the first player taken and the first offensive player taken, with no other offensive players taken in the first five picks, leaving Carnell Tate for Browns fans to feast on, and Browns fans would be genuinely pumped to get him. And I, if this happens, will have to sit there on the set and talk about a Buckeye being drafted in the first round of an NFL draft in the top six picks four straight times. That would be, if you take the full 10 minutes, 40 minutes of Buckeye conversation. And if that happens, I will need to hydrate and get my rest.
You might spontaneously combust.
I'm not going to do that. I'm a professional. I'm poised, as you know.
I read that you heard. I read that you were poised.
I'm poised.
I read that.
Awful Announcing says, I'm poised for this draft, and I will be poised.
He wields a lead pipe.
You understand me? That's right. Wielding professional.
Lead pipes.
Yeah.
Pipe wielding and poised.
That's what he does.
Reese Styles Downs Tate. Oh, my goodness gracious. Ohio State will plant the flag on this draft at that point in time, leaving Jeremiah Love for the Washington Commanders to take at 7. If the Commanders can stick and pick Jeremiah Love,
oh, baby.
They would, I mean.
How fast do they get,
you know,
it up
what?
There?
Yeah. You say that's the phrase that we say.
I know,
all
but
the time.
No one ever does it
because they have to do their due diligence to sit there and wait for at least 8 minutes for the phone to ring for somebody to offer them the proverbial cartoon's head in the bed. I saw Godfather the other day.
Oh, nice.
By the way, do you know Sonny Styles was named after Sonny Corleone because he was such a whirling dervish? Apparently,
yeah. Oh. We talked about that right after.
Yeah, he got the nickname Sonny.
No toll booths for
any rate.
No
Styles.
I showed the kids, or my two sons, Godfather on Saturday night.
And?
Oh, we'll talk about it later.
Wow.
Reuben Bain would go to the Saints, 8th overall. The Chiefs would choose Jordan Tyson as the second receiver off the board.
Ooh, interesting.
And then Mansoor Delane, the LSU corner, would go to Cincinnati, who you got to figure. They're choosing whatever is the best defensive player on their draft board at that point.
Yeah, coming, yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yep.
And just tell Joe Burrow, please like us.
Please like us.
So let me just say this. If the Washington Commanders can stick and pick, let Jeremiah Love drop to them, that would be 1,000,000% the dream scenario. And that Jaden Daniels would have this kid who is being talked about as having Bijan Saquon-type talent next to him and do all sorts of mesh point trickeration, trying to figure out who's got it, who doesn't. And this is the run game that would come downhill. And this would be the dynamic run-slash-pass game that comes downhill with Jaden Daniels and whoever else they can try and amass on that talented side of the football. Ugh. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Sorry, I don't like that at all.
Yeah, no. That's fun.
And of course, if he's rolled downhill against the Giants twice a year, it'll be a conversation. Well, you could have had him, Giants.
Right.
You chose Caleb Downs instead, and he's a very talented, superb football player who's already like a professional, as we saw at the combine.
You let division rivals get two running backs. One was thrown and one you passed on.
I know that would be clearly the storylines coming out of the top 10 of the draft would be four Ohio State guys in a row. Why the Jets chose David Bailey over the other two. Why the Titans chose Sonny Styles instead of Jeremiah Love. Why the Giants went in the direction which they did with a talented safety rather than a talented wide receiver or the running back of the draft that is arguably the best prospect in the draft despite having Cam Scataboo. Understood. Why the Chiefs went Jordan Tyson. That would be, if this is the draft, 1 month from today, that's what we'd be talking about. Some other interesting picks. Miami, who traded away Jalen Waddle to Denver. They clearly are taking a wide receiver, right? No, says Field Nates. Yates, Francis Mauinoa would still be on the board.
Ooh.
And he's third in many other mock drafts going to Arizona. So that would what we would call a value selection. So they're going to say to Malik Willis, if this happens, our best choice for you to succeed isn't a weapon outside. It's somebody to keep you upright. And maybe get Devin Achane a crease. Jermond McCoy, if he goes to Dallas at pick dozen, we haven't seen him since January 2025. He's coming off of a knee injury. We're expecting to see him at his pro day for the first time. That would be the conversation that Dallas believes he's healthy and ready to contribute sight unseen, essentially, for over a year. The Rams, with the 13th overall pick, their first-round selection would be Monroe Freeling. So they wouldn't be getting another, if you will, weapon for Matthew Stafford. But if we can put up the middle rounds here, guys, Monroe Freeling, the Georgia tackle, would be somebody that could get that offensive line more solidified for Matthew Stafford. And he's arguably, in the minds of others, the best prospect on an offensive line, with Spencer Fano right behind him. That would be the Ravens' choice with the pick that they didn't send to the Raiders. Mekhi Lemon being chosen by the Jets.
That's fun.
Would be interesting.
You got to get weapons for Geno, man.
You know, good one. Caden Proctor, wouldn't be a surprise. The Lions hitting that line.
Yep.
Dylan Thienemann, who has got Viking written all over him, could be the Harrison Smith successor.
Yep.
Kenyon Sadiq going to Carolina.
Top 20 for Sadiq.
So, I mean, if that happens, it'd be, all right, Carolina, we see you. We saw what you did for your front seven in free agency, and now you're adding another weapon.
After McMillan last year.
For your quarterback, Bryce Young. R. Mason Thomas, the edge rusher out of Oklahoma. TJ would complete your two picks in the middle of the first round. Dallas Cowboy, let's enhance that defense.
I was watching highlights of him this morning before the show started.
Interesting.
R. Mason.
Okay.
Sounds like a law firm.
RTJ. So now what would the Steelers do? Sitting there 21st overall. Do they take Ty Simpson? Do they take the kid? Where the hell is Aaron Rodgers right now? In this We've got a soundbite later on that we'll play from Mike McCarthy, who was asked of this very question in Green Bay, of all places, last night.
Where is Aaron right now?
Who knows? I think we'll find out before the draft that Aaron is going to return to Pittsburgh.
You do?
I do. I have that sense. Field Yates says no Ty Simpson. It's Venga Ioane staying in the Keystone State and providing some terrific guard play for Rodgers, bolstering that line. I dig that. And I'll tell you this, the Chargers would be like, damn it, that they could stick and pick him and put him next to Slater with Alt coming back too. Oh, baby. Instead, they're going to go safety, Emmanuel McNeil Warren. The Eagles choosing Omar Cooper Jr. would immediately spark on the set. Is A.J. Brown staying or not? What's going on? Immediately.
Yeah, you're right.
With all due respect to him after the conversation about what he can do and how he fits. After that conversation dies down. Ty Simpson would go to Arizona, according to Field Yates. He predicts this trade. We appreciate you mock drafting with a trade, Field. So he says the Cardinals would tell the Bills, we'll give you a pick, I imagine, in next year's draft to drop out and let us pop in and take Ty Simpson for the future. That would be a fascinating choice there.
Man.
Keldrick Falk would go to San Francisco. How about the Dolphins sitting there at 30? Getting Casey Concepcion dropping to them. And that would be the pick that they would utilize from the Jalen Waddle trade. How about that?
Makes sense.
So if they wind up with Mauanoa, who's a top five candidate, at 11, and Casey Concepcion at 30 for Willis, we'll come out of that draft and we would be 1 month from today saying, good job.
Yeah, Dolphins. Big
John Eric Sullivan.
Yep.
Denzel got in Boston going to the Patriots.
Hey.
It's made for headlines.
Not a lot of success with Washington receivers lately.
Excuse me. You know what? Him and Douglas would be in a two wide receiver set.
Oh.
Boston Pop.
Hey, nah.
Here we go. Guys, I can't turn it off.
You're poised.
I could. I'm poised. I'm so freaking poised. And then last one, put it up one more time. I mean, a lot of people think if Avion Terrell goes to Dallas, they would get a great choice at 12 or 20. And if the Seahawks, who are, you know, no longer Reek Wooland, can get Terrell, drop it to them at the last pick, everyone would be sitting there going, John Schneider, man.
I know. He's the new
John Schneider, man.
Howie Roseman.
Yeah, well, not new Howie Roseman. I mean, he's been Howie's peer for a while. You know what I mean?
I know, but just like, ah, they can't keep getting away with it.
That's it. That would be awesome for Seattle. And that's the way that we are finishing up that mock draft. He, Field Yates, again, check it out on ESPN.com, did an entire second round. He has our next guest, Eli Stowers, the tight end who did, in fact, have a better vert and broad jump at the combine than Kenyon Sadiq. He would have the Vanderbilt player and tight end dropping to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 46.
I wouldn't mind him in New England at the end of the first round.
Maybe. Maybe. But his last name's not Boston.
That's a good point.
You know, if only your team played in the greater Stowers area.
Is there anybody named Foxborough?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. No. So let's take a break and we'll chat with the tight end prospect, one of the best in the land. Will he be a first round selection? Let's meet the converted quarterback. Now, tight end prospect of note, Eli Stowers next.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
If you're ready for an oil change, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for $35.99 and receive a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. Upgrade to a Wix XP oil filter for just $2 more. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com. If you're like me and my family, you're all about creating amazing memories while on vacation. And for me, many of those have involved a home we found on Airbnb. We had such great experiences that whenever we travel somewhere new, we always check Airbnb first to find a place that fits our needs. The homes we've stayed in, comfortable, safe, private. You feel like you're part of the community. After a long day of exploring or sitting on a beach, it really is nice to come back to a place you can call your own. Airbnb is also a great way, if you want, to earn some extra money while you're traveling or out of your house for an extended period of time. You can make your home work for you while you're away. Not as a full-time thing, not as some big production, just something that fits into trips you're already taking. You can use the money for that dream vacation or put that money towards that outdoor kitchen you always wanted. Hosting on Airbnb just feels smart. Your home may be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Rich Eisen here. You know that feeling of handing off your taxes and then hearing nothing? Total radio silence. Well, not anymore. Now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert who checks for every deduction and keeps you in the loop with real-time updates on your phone. Just match with your dedicated expert, upload your docs, and go live your life, confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. This is how taxes should be. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service expert. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, as one big happy simulcast family, Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. What a terrific combine this young man had. Calling the action, if you will, 4.51 at the 40, the broad jump, 11.3, best of all tight ends. And we talked about Kenyon Sadiq's vert of 43.5 inches that tied the record that was set in 2010. And then this kid stepped up to the vertex and smashed that by 2 inches. And on top of it all, this prospect from Vanderbilt won the academic Heisman as well. Ladies and gentlemen, Eli Stowers here on the program. Sir. How are you? Nice. Eli, good to see you.
I'm doing good. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing fine. What's your mindset right now with a month to go, Eli?
Yeah, man, I'm just trying to soak in everything. You know, it's a blessing just to be in this position, and, you know, it's something that you dream of as a kid. And so, you know, I'm just trying to soak up everything, continue to work, put my head down to work, and, you know, be ready for draft day. So
where have I found you? Where are you?
I'm in Texas right now. I trained out in Phoenix, but I'm back home in the Dallas area, Denton, Texas. So
is that's where you're from? right?
Yes, sir.
You're okay.
Yes,
sir. You're born in Denton. And walk me through your football playing career. When did you first start playing? You're in Texas, I imagine, as a very little kid, right, Eli?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, my dad is a former player, and he was a coach as well. And so as soon as I was born, he was a high school coach. And so I always had a football in my hand. I started playing actual football in first grade and played quarterback my whole career. And so, you know, when I got to college, I was still a quarterback, went to Texas A&M, and then went to New Mexico State after that. That was my shoulder injury, my throwing shoulder at Texas A&M. Started the transition to tight end in New Mexico State, and then followed my OC and head coach to Vandy. Then I was full-time tight end the last 2 years. So
when walk me through, if you don't mind, the moment you hurt your shoulder and realized you needed a different path, Eli. Certainly, because, I mean, if you said that you played quarterback your whole, you know, youth and life, you were no doubt envisioning being a quarterback at the level that you're about to enter, right? Correct?
Yeah, for sure. I got to Texas A&M, and I just couldn't throw like I could previously. And, you know, I ended up tearing my labrum in my first year there. And then, you know, I was doing some other things, like some special teams thing. I couldn't throw. And that was at the beginning of the season, and so I couldn't throw anymore with a torn labrum. But, you know, I felt like I had some ability, and so they wanted to use me on special teams and do some other things. And I got surgery at the end of that season, went back to quarterback. You know, I was still a quarterback, but, you know, went back to full-time quarterback, and it got a little better after the surgery. But like after that surgery, man, I just was never the same. I couldn't throw the same. And so, but, you know, I was hard headed, and like, that's all I knew. I wanted to play quarterback like that, you know? And so I just decided to transfer, you know, see if, you know, new scenery, just start fresh somewhere. I went to New Mexico State. That's where my dad played. So that's where I had a connection there, but, it still was just never the same there. And so, you know, right before the season, you know, I was competing with Diego at the time, and Diego won the starting job. And so I went into Coach Beck's office, and I said, Coach, I'm willing to do anything to help the team. I said, I'll play a different position. I'll play special teams. I'll play defense. I'll do anything. And that's when, you know, he suggested playing tight end. So that's how that transition started.
But and what about the mentals part of that? I mean, that couldn't have been easy.
Yeah, no, it was tough, especially when I got to A&M, and, you know, things just weren't going the way that I planned them to. And but, you know, I think that's where I started, you know, relying on my faith and leaning on my faith and understanding that God had a plan for me. And it says that all things work together for the good of those who love him in Romans 8. And so, you know, I was just leaning on him. And by the time that I got to that point where I went into Coach Beck's office asking to move, like, I had a lot of peace with it. You know, it was tough on me the 3 years leading up to that, but I had a lot of peace with it by the time we made that decision. And from that point on, I was just putting my head down and working at the new thing that God put in front of me. So,
and last question for you on this front, who are you modeling yourself after at quarterback? Who are you like, I want to be like this guy? Who is that?
At quarterback, yeah. So I was, my mom went to Baylor, and so I was a huge RG3 guy. Okay. That was my guy growing up. I wanted to be just like him, you know, a good dual threat athlete, a dual threat quarterback. And Cam Newton was my other guy. So I was a big dual threat quarterback. That's what I wanted to be like back then.
Well, you certainly have the size for the latter, you know. Okay, so learning tight end, the challenge was what there?
Yeah, so I would say that, like, being a former quarterback, I think that it helped the transition a lot in terms of scheme and being a good athlete, like the route running and the catching the ball and stuff. It came pretty natural. It was a lot of things that I still had to learn, but that came more natural. I think the blocking aspect was the newest thing to me, just because I played quarterback my whole career. I never played another position on offense my whole life. And so the blocking thing was something I never did. Quarterbacks don't block. And so I think when it got to that point, like, I was completely willing. Like, I wanted to be, you know, moving to tight end. I wanted to be the best I could be at tight end. And I understood that, you know, tight ends block. And so I was completely willing to do it. It was just from that point, just learning the technique and understanding how to block. And so I think that was the hardest thing. But over the last 2 years, I've taken some huge steps and strides, and I've gotten a lot better. And I want to continue to get a lot better as I move into this next step. So,
well, I mean, you clearly have learned the position. What does it mean to you then to be a converted quarterback, and you convert because the football injury gods force it, and you learn a new position, and then you win the award for being the top player at that position? What does that John Mackey Award mean to you, Eli Stowers?
I mean, it's just, it's a blessing, and it's, you know, super humbling. Like, it just showed me and it proved to me even more that, like, you know, God's got my life in his hands. And, you know, it showed me that I need to continue to rely on my faith and lean on that and glorify him and glorify Christ through it, because that's what got me to this point. And like, if you would have asked me what I was going to do 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I was telling you that I wanted to play quarterback in the NFL. And now I'm playing a completely different position that had nothing to do with me. And so, like, it's really just humbling and, you know, seeing God is moving my life. So.
And then on top of it, what does it require to get the academic Heisman? What were your classes? Great point. I was the National Football Foundation Scholar Athlete of the Year Award. Bo Nix was a previous winner of it. You have won it. What does that take,
Eli? Yeah, I think it's just, you know, taking everything that you do in your life seriously. One thing that we always talk about, that Coach Lee would say actually, is that, you know, how you do things on the field, or how you do anything. And so, you know, just the, you know, taking everything seriously and, you know, putting your best foot forward in whatever you do and working towards it. You know, that was a blessing to be able to, you know, even be considered for that, because, you know, academics have always been important to me in my life. And so for me to be considered for that and end up winning it, like, that was really cool. And so I was just really thankful for it.
4-0. So what you got? What's your grade point? What is it?
I was not a 4-0. It was I think it was a 3-8 or a 3-7 or something like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, what the heck, Eli? You know,
hey, that's a little tough.
Yeah, I think so. What was your major? What were your classes? Give me some of your curriculum. What you got?
Yeah, so I got my master's in finance at Vandy, and I mean, you learn everything under the sun in finance. I mean, you in private equity, you know, international finance, business, world business. We even did some statistics classes, accounting classes, all that stuff. Like, it was everything you could think of in terms of finance, business, and all that stuff was in the curriculum all in 1 year. So,
all right, now let's talk business.
All right.
How many teams have you visited so far? What do we got?
Yeah. So I visited one so far, and I got two more visits lined up. I visited the Titans this past week, and then, I got the Cowboys and the Broncos coming up soon. So
the Cowboys, TJ Jefferson, the Cowboys.
Take a note on my buddy.
That's
Eli.
That's a Cowboy fan right there.
What's up, Eli?
What's up?
Just, you know,
he's got a quill pen. Get out of your mind.
Well, Eli might not know is Denton, Texas is home of one of the most famous wrestling families of all time, the Von Erichs. Just wanted to throw that.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I actually did not know that. Well,
okay. See, do you have a quill pen to write that note down?
I don't got a quill.
Okay. And the other team, you said Titans, Cowboys, and who else?
Broncos.
Okay. The Broncos are that. Yeah, that's not a bad choice.
Sir.
What do you tell teams who they get if they draft Eli Stowers in the draft?
Yeah, I think that they get a player that one wants to be the best he can be for his team and help the team win. You know, I think that, you know, I have a unique kind of blend of athleticism and size at this position. And, you know, I'm really tough. Like, I've been available. I haven't missed a game in the last 3 years. And then, you know, also, like, I think that the quarterback background, understanding the game, they're going to get someone that's going to be a quarterback's friend and be able to help them in the passing game. And, you know, just kind of understand things from the same perspective as what their quarterback does. And, you know, being able to learn the scheme. And so I really just want to be the best I can be the best tight end I can be for my team. And, you know, that's who they're going to get. So
are you aware of who your height, weight, speed comp is, according to Daniel Jeremiah, my colleague on NFL Network? Did you hear what it is?
I'm not. Who is it?
DK Metcalf.
Ooh,
Eli.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
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 You ran a little faster than me, but
not too much faster.
Yeah.
Not too much, but you got him in the vert. You got him in the broad at the combine, and he had one of the more famously terrific combines. As well as, you know, where we spotted him on camera FaceTiming with his mom and getting emotional about it because of his journey and his history. It was also injury related as well. So, yeah, you're the size of DK Metcalf coming at you, Eli.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
That's nice. I guess that's a pretty nice comparison there.
Not bad for sure. So those are your top visits. You got any others? You said just two more planned. That's it for you right now.
In terms of visits, yeah, those are the only two I have planned.
Who'd you see at the combine?
I mean, for the formals, I had quite a few, like just name a few. I had the Jaguars, the Eagles, the Broncos again, the Ravens. And then I met with, you know, just about every team so far, whether it was in informals or Zoom calls. And so, I've talked to quite a few teams.
Where are you going to be for the draft?
I'll be back here. I'll be back home. So, just be around family, around friends. It'll be cool.
So walk me through the evening. What, home? Your mom and dad's house? That's how it works?
I'll actually be doing it at my church.
Want to give the church a shout out?
Yeah, it's Cross Ridge Church in Little Elm, Texas. Pastor Mark Parnell. Been going there since we moved to North Texas in like my kindergarten, first grade. So, it would be really cool just to be in that community and be around all of them.
Hey, man, you know, because I obviously heard how important your faith is during this conversation, and faith in yourself and faith in your process for you to have this night or nights, however it does work for you, happen in your church, surrounded by your faith and your family. Kudos to you, Eli. I'm happy for you. And I look forward to seeing where you land. And now we're officially tight.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I appreciate it.
And you should know, this is a spot where we only have the best prospects who also have hair. We had Dunker on with his mullet, and I'm just looking at your lid. It's very impressive, Eli.
There we go. Okay. It's a little been growing it out a few years.
Oh, is that right? Is that how it works? you could see. I'm fascinated by this. Any product?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
see the progress.
You just wake up like this? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Depends on the day. Sometimes.
Good Lord. You are blessed indeed. Eli, thanks again. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Best of luck from here on out. And that's Eli Stowers.
Love it.
Good luck, brother.
Tight end, academic Heisman winner, John Mackey Award winner.
Like it.
I love stories.
Yeah.
Love stories. You imagine you're like, I'm dreaming of being a quarterback. Texas A&M brings you on board at quarterback. Oh, you got to learn another position. Right. You got to learn another position. You're going to transfer, learn another position, and then you'll become the best at that position. And you'll also go to Vanderbilt. You get an incredible education, and you'll be the academic Heisman winner. Hey, these are important metrics when you're drafting. Yep. You got to figure that out. Kid won't be a problem in the locker room. He's going to be additive in every possible way.
Billy, the pivot is what I find in life is so important. And
Dallas.
He had that.
Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, we got a good one, but we can always use another one.
I hear you.
You
know? I hear you.
Yeah, I don't write nothing down with this feather pen unless it's legit.
Is that right?
Just saying, look, Drake May needs a new BFF. You know what I mean?
I know.
You stay out of this, Brockman.
That'll be a choice for sure at the end of that first
31 round. Is a nice spot. Just saying.
Stowers there, huh?
Yeah, man.
For Tommy Cutlets.
Stop.
What? All right. That was fun stuff.
That's great.
Loved getting to meet Eli Stowers. Hopefully you did as well. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're back with more Tom Izzo of Michigan State coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
You know you need fiber for a healthy gut, but do you actually know how to get it? Quaker's been serving up fiber since 1877, with over 100 great-tasting, good source of fiber options to choose from. Whether you like old-fashioned oats, instant oatmeal, granola, or oatmeal squares, Quaker makes it delicious. So good. Get your fiber with Quaker. Shop Quaker's good source of fiber products at a store near you.
back here on the Rich Eisen Show on National Cocktail Day. So does that mean we have to watch the Tom Cruise vehicle this evening?
The hippie hippie shake.
I would love that. You don't have. I don't need a special day to do that.
Well, I mean anything.
You know what I mean?
Coughlin's Law.
Anything. Yeah. Anything Cruise.
Well, I mean it's not just Cruise. It's in that film.
Yeah. It's, you know? Elizabeth Shue. Yeah.
By the way, when she
Kelly Lynch
when she guested on the show when she was one of our guests, that was a great day.
Yeah,
she's so delightful.
Well, I mean, the younger version of me was very, very excited, and so was the present day version of me.
Yeah. I was about to say, something changed.
Yeah, both.
So today's National Cocktail Day. What would be your cocktail of choice? Come on,
it's hot. I think I'm going pina because it's hot out.
Pina colada.
Yeah.
Straight up vodka on the rocks with lemon.
But that's not a, is that a cocktail?
It's a cocktail. Of course it is.
That's a just a straight drink.
A drink.
Pour.
It's a drink. You have
to, no, it's,
a cocktail
you just said
requires
something else, a mixer.
Yeah, like a song and dance. You know what I mean?
It's not just like your favorite, it's not liquor day. It's not get hammered day. it's cocktail day.
You're assuming I get hammered.
I mean, if you saw, like you know, Tom Cruise was flipping this thing, it wasn't just pouring one thing and then putting it on, you know, putting on a lime and handing it to Mike Del Tufo. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, like a martini.
Fuzzy navel.
You love that. You love that.
What are you going to Senior Frogs on prom night? What the hell is that?
Old fashioned.
Spring break at Senior Frogs, like you're back in high school.
Like TJ Zima with some Chambord.
College. What's your cocktail?
I'm not a big drinker.
Back in the day, you've had a drink. What do you got?
Back in the day, it was Long Island iced tea. If I were to get a drink right now, it would probably be like a Jameson and Sprite.
Okay. Woo!
Yeah.
Well, as you know, Susie's mentioned it here. I am known in my household by even my children from my our vacation to the great 50th state of Hawaii. I'm Mr. Mai Tai.
Oh yeah, that's like a
with an extra, you know, a floater or rum on the top.
Yeah,
Mai Tai Dukes, yeah, baby.
Ooh. A little floaty.
Take me.
Orange flavored vodka and a little Mandy vodka and soda. It's not bad. It's a nice, cool, refreshing drink.
Yes.
Like lemonade.
With a kick.
You didn't expect that Eddie Murphy.
Nobody got that for me.
What is that from?
Is that from Eddie Murphy Raw?
Yes.
Lemonade, the cool refreshing drink.
I got it.
Lemonade.
Cool refreshing drink.
The cool refreshing drink.
I just couldn't.
Lemonade.
Today.
And that's not a real song. So
we're good.
Yeah, you can sing it.
We're good. You got that one.
That cool refreshing.
Today, also, two movies of note on this day. On this day, we'll go here first. On this day, back in 1980, let me get this date
46
correct. Hold on a second. Hold on. 84, pardon me. 84.
Ooh,
42 years ago today, five high schoolers in Shermer High School sat in detention. All day. Breakfast Club. This was the day on the screen.
At the very beginning. Right, okay.
March 24th, 1984 is when the Breakfast Club got together in detention. And Susie and I showed that film to our kids, thinking it would be a parable for the present day. Because it's always something going on, as you know, with teenage kids, high school kids. Always something going on. Susie and I thought it would be a great movie to show the kids, saying, see, there's always been people filled with anxiety, but certainly if they can get together and talk it out and become friends forever, it's a neat movie to show, unless the kids are thoroughly bored by it.
They were, I could see it.
Well, they were, I think Zan was the one who was saying at one point, when is it going to be the next day? Kind of all three of them didn't get it. It's just about one single detention and the journey they go on in one day. So those are disappointing moments. Not going to lie. Those are disappointing moments for parents when something that speaks to us and resonates with us for decades, we try to share with our kids and they're like, yeah, really?
It's like every film you say to Brockman, Rich, basically.
Well, I mean, it damages also us to sit there and go, yes, kids, sit down. Mom and Dad want to show you this standard definition movie. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah, right.
What are those? When the kids see the SD on the screen, they're like, really?
It's a turnoff.
Yeah. And they're also, you know, maybe parents, you could figure this out. We're in the same thing, too. Same boat. We got to see the preview first. Trust us. It's a good movie. So, but I have been also personally priming the pump for The Godfather for the kids. Taylor had a sleepover. So I turned to Zan and Coop. I'm like, tonight, we're watching The Godfather. We're going to order Italian food.
What day was this?
Oh, Saturday.
Saturday, okay.
Were they excited?
There was a little bit of an arm twist, but I've been saying, let's do this.
Okay. Days like a buffalo.
And we took their phones.
Oh, nice.
Smart. Make them lock in.
We took their phones. So we're not scrolling, you know? We took their phones, and they loved it.
Loved it?
Loved it.
See? That's a timeless movie.
They can't wait to see Godfather 2, and I tell them it's the best sequel in movie history.
Oh. They liked 1, then 2's going to blow their mind.
Today is the anniversary of The Godfather in theaters near you today in 1972.
Wow.
I watched it last night, actually.
Did
part
you?
Two. Yeah.
Well, part 2.
It's on every...
Del Tufa and I talk about this.
It's on every other
show. Godfather 1 or 2 is literally out of 30 days a month. It's on at least 50.
But The Godfather holds up, guys.
Oh, yeah.
It really does. And there are still moments that would shock the kids. But there are also moments where we had a pause. And like that look by that one character is a plot point. It's a tell.
Right.
It is actually moving the plot forward. You know, it shows you this person's the rat. It shows you this person is suspicious. The minute that Sonny spoke out of turn in front of the Turk, in front of Sollozzo, it marked the Don for getting shot, taken out because Sonny was into the deal because he spoke outside of the family. Never let anybody outside the family know what you're thinking. Leave the guns, take the cannoli.
Oh, it's great.
I said, I love that line. And Xander and Cooper are like, yeah, because you love cannolis. I'm like, no. Yes, but no.
Were they?
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.